Hey, friendly reminder, this podcast is not for kids or people who have a stick up their ass.
Friday, 5:58 p.m.
I'm sleeping with my best friend's husband.
I think my uncle killed someone in his suicide.
I am a sugar baby.
I'm a soccer mom addicted to Adderall.
I think my sister is actually my uncle's kid.
My husband bought his hooker a car whenever I was helping
him. I was living with my husband.
What's your secret? Welcome back to another week of Beyond the Secret. My name is Ace Fanning, and someone I know once told me that this podcast and the secrets that I share give people the idea that cheating is okay. They basically said that I enable people to cheat because, you know, adults are not responsible for their own actions. But here's the deal. First, I have had several cheating episodes, and they've all had a different spin to them, but they've all been associated with a good amount of stress. I think the girl sleeping with her boss was the least stress-inducing, but for the most part, none of these stories make cheating glamorous. And second, this person is the same kind of person who probably thinks seeing gay people on TV is going to make people gay. Because, like, obviously, we all know, like, Will and Grace has straight men all over the world hurrying to go down on their buddy after softball practice. No, like, the people who want to cheat are going to cheat. But what this podcast does is, I believe, create an opportunity for dialogue. Like, my hope is that these episodes stir up conversations among couples that, you know, they can candidly talk about things that maybe they never have. And then maybe some honest truths come out and their relationship will be better for it. Maybe not, but my podcast is not unzipping married people's pants. So, when I originally got this secret in my inbox, it was from a woman who basically said that cheating on her husband was a great thing. But as we started talking, I heard so much more than just that. This is a story about emotional abuse, military culture, narcissism, and yes, cheating. But it's not just about cheating. And I think you'll see that by the end of it all. The cheating will kind of be like the last thing on your mind. And one last thing. I want to say this before we get to the episode. Ladies, please listen to the things this woman says and realize that if these things are happening in your relationship, they are not okay. They are deal breakers. We do not accept these things in our relationship. Okay. This week's secret, the manipulated military wife's infidelity. Tell me about yourself.
I grew up with three older siblings and kind of always wanted to be with them. So in a way, I kind of grew up, you know, a little bit more mature in a sense, which I feel like a lot of girls in high school say, like, I grew up mature. But truly, I felt that way because I was hanging out with a sibling that was already the closest one to me was 5 years older. So we were together a lot, and I kind of just started to behave similarly and, you know, do the things they enjoyed doing. And this kind of led me into getting into a relationship with someone older than me So I was 16 and he was 21 when we started dating. I was a junior in high school. I think I was a junior. And I had actually been in like a previous pretty long-term relationship with this one person since like middle school. But obviously those things don't last. And I had met him and he was really cool and so cute. And all my friends kind of knew him from other people. And I just really quickly fell for him. But he was actually in a relationship with another person that he'd been in a relationship with, I think at that point, like 4 or 5 years. And I'm like this, I had braces. I was like this 16-year-old with braces. And this 21-year-old guy was totally into me. And looking back now, I'm like, hello, red flag. But at 16, you're like, I'm so mature. He just sees it, you know, he just likes me because I'm so mature, which kind of backfired. So I want to just kind of preface this by saying that like these things now I can look back and be like, yeah, there were issues, but in the moment they didn't really seem bad. So we dated and obviously I'm in high school. He was attending some college classes and working and he would come to my high school after I got out and picked me up. And, you know, I just thought he was so cool. And he actually didn't have a car. I did though, funny enough. I actually remember he like rode his bike to my house one time. But him and I dated, but he was very insecure. He would want to know where I was all the time. If I was hanging out with friends, which it's high school. So yeah, I hung out with friends and I was actually a cheerleader for a little while. So I'd have cheer practice after school and I had a full-time job, you know, outside of school. And so I would hang out with friends and he would make me text him where I was and even take pictures of who I was with. And I did it. Because I didn't want to risk this relationship that I thought was so wonderful with this great guy. And he wasn't mean. He wasn't, you know, rude to me. He was actually very nice. Seemed like he had a shit together for a 21-year-old and he never pressured me to do anything. So I kind of felt like it was a really great relationship. I wasn't with a high school boy, but he was really controlling. I see it now. And so he would track where I was and always want to know where I was. And this kind of just had a trickle effect where I got older and would kind of realize what he was doing and I'd call him on it. And then he would, I hate using this term because I really feel like it's overused, but it is truly the best term. He'd gaslight me. Somehow I'd end up apologizing for like being at my friend's house. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have gone there. So we dated all through, you know, my junior year and then into my senior year. And I was like a decent student and had these plans to go to college and knew what I wanted to do. And I kind of just saw him as being like in the way because he was just at this point, you know, he's like 22, going on 23. He's kind of like stuck in his ways. He's still in this town. He's not doing anything with himself. He was working a shit job. And I'm like thinking, well, I'm about to go to college. Like I can't stay with him. So I end up right before my high school prom, I'd kind of been like, you know, I want to have like a good summer after my senior year. I just want to live and have fun. And so I ended up breaking up with him. And I remember as soon as I broke up with him, he was like, that's it. I'm joining the military. Nothing's holding me here now. I knew I should have gone. And he like turned the entire thing around on me and made me feel like absolute shit for breaking up with him. And I'm like this, yeah, barely 18-year-old girl at this point. We break up and he literally does. He drives to the recruiters and enlists. Same fucking day.
Did your parents ever express their thoughts with you about him?
Yes. So I actually lied about his age for like, I think it was like 4 or 5 months was all, but I lied about his age and my parents figured it out because, well, I can't be too specific, but we had gone somewhere and he had to take out his ID. And in the state we lived in at the time, if you were under 21, you had a vertical ID. And if you were over 21, it was horizontal. And I had been telling my family he was 20 and my parents still weren't really okay with that, but they were like, well, okay. You know, I don't know why 21 was the cutoff for me, but you know, it just kind of, I was like, oh, he just turned 20. So he takes out his ID, you know, and it's obviously the horizontal style ID. And instantly my parents are like, how old are you? And the truth comes out. He didn't even know I had lied to my parents. So it kind of was my fault, but you know, like I said, 16-year-old girl here. My parents definitely were more on the relaxed side of parenting at this point, being the youngest of four kids. And I kind of think that like nothing could really compare to the shit they pulled. So my parents were like, well, fuck, man, like, at least she's not doing drugs. At least she's not, you know, out partying. At least she hasn't been picked up by the cops three times. At least she's just dating this older guy. Like, if that's the worst of it, let's just let it ride, you know? But yeah, mostly my mom. My dad, he didn't really seem to care so much, but my mom was, she had her eye on him.
Did you tell them when he went to go enlist?
I don't remember. I mean, I know I told them that he went to enlist, but I don't remember telling them like the reason. I don't think that I did, because that was kind of a trend with our relationship, was that I hid any issue. I wanted the relationship to appear like perfect to anybody looking in, like, this is a great relationship. So there's no room for error. So I definitely wasn't going to tell my parents like, well, he enlisted because I broke up with him. But he did. He drove to the recruiter station, signed up, like had a date that he was leaving 3 weeks later. Like, it was fucking done. He was like, this is the shit I'm doing and it's done, you know? And it was so manipulative. So manipulative, because then it was like, well, I'm leaving in 3 weeks. Give me another chance. You won't see me. You're going to have the whole summer to yourself because I'll be in boot camp. Like, you can do whatever you want. Just, you know, be with me right now before I leave. And I actually remember that the main reason I even like got back with him, and I don't even want to say got back with him because we didn't really get back together, but was I didn't have a date for prom at this point. we broke up so close to prom, I didn't have a date, and he already had paid for his tux. And I'm like, well, shit, you know, we got to do this. So, which is actually kind of funny, because our prom actually had an age limit of how old they would let somebody's guests go to prom with them. And we lied about his age to my high school, because I think the cutoff was 21 and he would have been like 22, 23 at this point. So I remember we went to high school prom together, and yeah, it was whatever. It was shitty, but you know, who cares? And he ended up leaving, I mean, the next week, I think, for boot camp. Like, he was gone before I even had commencement. And that summer was like the best fucking summer. I slept with so many guys. I had so many friends. I partied all summer long, and just kind of did. Yeah. I just kind of like had this like wild moment and kind of went crazy, had a blast. I mean, I like went on vacations with friends. It was great. Truly looking back, like one of the best summers. And I mean, because he can't call me, right? He can't check in on me. He can't see what I'm doing. He's at boot camp. He can only know what I'm doing if I decide to write him a letter and tell him.
Obviously, like, sleeping around with people, that would not have happened if you guys were still together and he was still there. But do you think that had he not been away at boot camp, you would have missed out on those vacations with friends and all of the fun things that made your summer after senior year what it was?
Oh, 100%, because I had already lost friends to this point. I mean, he was the only person I hung out with. My best friend, who's been my best friend since kindergarten, is actually a bit younger than me. And he actually made me stop hanging out with her. Like, a friend that now at this point in my life, we've been friends for 25 years. But even then, it had already been like, you know, 15 years of friendship. And he kind of like forbid me from being around her. And so I had cut her out of my life because he was the most important thing. So that summer, like, we reconnected and were together, you know, 24/7 every day, hung out. And so, yeah, I know 100%. If he had been there, there's no way. And he would have just sucked me back in. I would have been pulled right back into his bullshit. We would have been doing this stupid, he's at work, I'm at work. We hang out every fucking day. Nobody sees anybody else. And it is what it is. So truly, I mean, him going to boot camp was a great thing for me. But he ended up graduating boot camp early fall. And obviously, he came back home before he got his like duty station and had to go to his advanced training and such. And we had just found out my mom had cancer. Like, literally the same day that he comes home, my mom reveals to our entire family that she has cancer, which was like this total sucker punch, right? Tell me why this motherfucker thinks it's like the perfect opportunity to propose to me. But he does. And I say yes, because I'm in this like completely vulnerable state. And I'm like thinking about losing my mom. And oh, I don't even know where my head was at then. Like, I actually remember I would drive to campus and I would sleep in my car because I was so depressed. And I would just sleep through class. like classes my parents were paying good money for, because I was so depressed about what was going on with my mom. And then he was like gone at training, and we ended up getting married late that year. And true, it literally was like a courthouse marriage. And I actually remember driving to the courthouse with one of my siblings and them being like, "What the fuck are you doing? Please don't do this." Like bawling. They were crying, begging me not to marry him, pleading. My parents are in the front seat driving me there. My sibling is just losing their fucking mind. Just like, "Nope, you shouldn't do this. This is not a good idea. You're so young." And I'm like, "No, it's fine. I'm an adult. I can make my own decisions. This is what I want to do. This is what I've decided. You know, now he's got this good job and we're going to have income. Like, it's going to be great."
I'm curious, because I'm sure that on the inside, you agreed with your sibling. Like, you were like, "Why the fuck am I doing this?" And
no, yeah.
And the reason I say that is because listening to you just tell this story, I have so many things that I want to say, but I'm like, this all sounds, not to like cut away at your story, but like, this is all so textbook.
Yes.
Like, I'm
100%.
Listening to you, and I've heard other stories of women in abusive relationships, and I'm like, if there was a checklist in front of me, it's like, yep, yep, cross that. Okay, perfect, good, great. Yep, we did all of those things. I'm just so curious, like, do you think that in the moment you just tried to convince yourself that this marriage was a good idea?
I think truly, Ace, like, I really believe this now looking back. So I'm actually a psychology major, so I think it's kind of funny that this is where I ended up. But in the moment, I actually remember thinking like that his jealousy and controlling was just a sign of how much he loved me. I truly did not see how wrong it was then at all. Like, I promise you, did not see it, did not feel it, did not think it. I really did it, really more thought like, he just loves you so much. You're just so lucky. He just loves you. He just doesn't want anything to happen to you. He just is worried about you. He just loves you. You know, it's crazy to say now, but no, I did know. Like you said, did you have any idea that this wasn't a good idea? Yeah. And I actually remember thinking like, well, I can just always get divorced. It's crazy to think, like, who thinks that? I did. And we ended up getting married, and in pretty much immediately, like within 3 weeks, we moved 2,300 miles away to where he gets stationed.
I'm just going to say it right now. Let's just add that one also to the checklist.
Yes, absolutely. But he lied. He told me that he actually had picked these duty stations that were fairly close to where we lived. But we just got unlucky and got this other one, right? And once again, naive 18-year-old here, I'm like, oh, wow, okay. Well, good, cool, new opportunity, you know. So this was at the end of like my first semester of college. So, like, that's wrapped up and like away we go, right? This whole new experience. And I moved 2,300 miles away from all of my family, all of my friends, everyone I've ever known, to be with this guy that I literally haven't had like a relationship with since the prior spring, you know what I mean? Just kind of on and off in a weird way. And we get to our duty station, and like, I'm going to fast forward, but like within 3 months, I was pregnant. Bing, bang, boom. Here it is. I'm pregnant. And dead honest, it was planned. I was totally like, I want to be a young mom. I want to have this baby. I want to do this, which I also think was kind of a way for me to have control over something, looking back. And I end up having this child very, very prematurely. And I'm now 19. And they're in the NICU for months. And I actually remember kind of like the cumulative moment in my mind of like when shit hit the fan, if that makes sense. So kind of going back, when we got to our duty station, we only had this one shitty ass vehicle that we drove across the country, right? It's just this crappy car. So I had no vehicle either. I left my car back home because we couldn't take both. So I was literally stuck in our apartment all day by myself. And he's at work. And at one point I got a job, but I could only go to work if he drove me. So there were times that he'd be like, I'm stuck at work. Guess you can't go to work today. And I'd have to call my boss and be like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I can't be in there. And have to call off work, which was embarrassing, but I was like, I don't have a way to get there. And then I ended up finding out that one of the girls that I worked with at the time actually lived in the same apartment complex as I. And I feel like that turned everything upside down for him, because now I could carpool. So I started taking all these shifts because I'm like, get me the fuck out of this house. Like, I am so bored. So I start working on, this is while I'm pregnant, and I'm in school again. I've enrolled in a local community college. I'm going to classes, really just like actually enjoying myself again, kind of made this new place my home. But once again, I could only go to my classes. I took night classes, and I could only go if he was home to take me. And there were so many times that I'd be like, where are you? I am supposed to be in class in 20 minutes, and it's a 20-minute drive, you know, and you're not even here yet. And he would just be like, is what it is. It's the military. You know what I mean? Like, I can't make my schedule. But truthfully, the position he was in was not one of those positions. They all were out by 5. And it was like his way of controlling me was not having this vehicle. Well, I get a little bit of money from working, and I decide I'm going to buy myself a car. So I actually go and I buy myself a car. And for this brief window, when I say brief, like I don't even think it was 2 full weeks of me having my own vehicle and him having the car we brought, he sells his car. Doesn't tell me, just sells it. And I go, well, what happened? You know, and he's like, oh, it had so many problems and we just had all these issues and it was just going to cost too much to fix it. So this guy gave me like $400 for scrap. So he just took it. I'm like, right. But now we have one vehicle again. And he was like, yeah, sucks. And obviously he's the one who works. So obviously I can't be like, oh, I'm taking this car, you know? So once again, we're back to one vehicle, just this perfect, perfect way of controlling me. I couldn't go anywhere.
I want to ask you, at the time, did you see it as him being controlling, as him being manipulative, or did you just think like, oh man, it sucks. He's always working and sucks. We only have one car. It sucks that like, I can't always make it to class or make it to a job. Like, did you just think it was inconvenient, or did any part of you think this was something more going on?
No, at this point I had kind of realized the mental abuse, that the emotional abuse that was kind of occurring. I was realizing it. I was kind of starting to put it together in my head. But the best way I can say this is like, you kind of always excuse it away. You always want to have some excuse as to why it's happening, because you can't possibly fathom this person you love is truly doing this to you. So yes, on one hand, I knew that I was being manipulated, completely knew it. And I remember like crying about it. But on the other hand, I'm like, well, we just don't make a lot of money. We just can't have 2 cars, or this is just how it's going to be, like a little bit of heartache for payoffs down the road. It just kind of is what it is. And then like when my parents would ask, I'd be like, well, it was just easier just to have 1 car on the insurance. I always had an excuse. If anybody were to even have like an inkling or an idea and they brought it up, I would shut it down so fast. I'd be like, oh no, oh my gosh, no, no, no. I encouraged him to sell that car. Which this all kind of feeds into a little bit later, where people didn't believe that this even happened to me, because I had pretended that things were great for so long.
When you would do that, did you have this like internal moment with yourself of like, why the fuck am I doing this? Or did you again try to explain it away to yourself too, so that you would almost believe it?
Yeah, both. I know I knew and knew it was fucked up, but at the same time, I'm sitting here thinking, well, if anybody finds this out, right, they're going to be like, we all warned you not to get married at 18. We all warned you not to move this far away. And in my head, I'm like, well, then they win. So I would explain it away to myself as well, mainly because I didn't want people to think I was fake, which is funny because I was being more fake. But at the time I was like, no, I want them to think this is great. This is the best relationship they've ever seen. You know, we're going to be these high school sweethearts that make it to where gray. So yeah, a little bit of both. But so I end up having our child and my mom flies out. Like she finds out I'm in labor and she's like on a plane and she ends up landing. She couldn't get there as quickly as I had this child because of how things progressed so quickly. And she ended up getting there the next morning. And our kid is actually at a different hospital at this point because the hospital I delivered at didn't even have a NICU. So they had to like, you know, get her there. And I basically had to then travel 40 miles back and forth to see our kid in the NICU. And like, he wouldn't go. He would be like, no, it's all good. You go. I had to go. I was breastfeeding. So I was pumping milk for this baby. And I'm like, that was like my goal in life. I was like, have this cooler filled with milk to take down every trip that I went down. And they actually offered us a place to like live down there, but I was in college at the time and it was the same month of finals. So I was like, listen, I'm commuting back and forth anyways, because I can't be there 24/7. It's just not possible. So I may as well finish these classes and then get it figured out. Had the baby. My mom came and decided to stay with us for like a couple weeks while we kind of sorted things out. And I remember this story so well, because it was just like, this was kind of the culmination of all the things. We had gone to the grocery store, my mom and I had my list of groceries and my $60. Okay. Cause he would give me the amount of money for groceries and a list. And it was like, you cannot buy anything that's not on this list. I know these prices. I have calculated them. If you buy anything else, you won't be able to pay for it all. So this was how grocery shopping had been for me for, you know, the last like 9 months of living at this place. And I was at the grocery store with my mom, and mind you, I just had a baby. So, you know, like you're hormonal and kind of, you're just all over the place. And I walked past pickles and I was like, oh my God, I want some pickles. And then I just kept walking and my mom like stopped. I have to like say this. My mom is like this tiny petite little thing, but she is a fireball, absolute fireball that takes no shit. Breadwinner of my family, takes no shit. So she's standing next to me and I like keep rolling the cart, and she like looks at me and she's like, you just said you wanted pickles. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, but you didn't get them. And I'm like, no, yeah, they're not on my list. And she's like, excuse me? I was like, well, they're not on my list. And my mom's like, for one, I don't know why you think you're paying for this. I will pick up your groceries. But two, if you want fucking pickles, get the fucking pickles. Like, I remember her saying that verbatim in the middle of this grocery store. If you want pickles, buy the fucking pickles. And I'm like, mom, I can't, like, I don't have it. And she looked at me so concerned. I remember that. Oh, it kind of makes me teary. She looked at me so concerned, like, why are you stressing about this $3 jar of pickles? And I was just kind of like, oh, I really, mom, I can't do it. You don't understand. And she's like, what don't I understand? And I'm like, it's not on the list. And I just lose it. And she's like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Like, and puts them in my cart, and she ends up buying like, I don't even know, $500 worth of groceries. She's like, we're going to make freezer meals. You're going to have anything you want, you know? And I actually remember walking in my house with armfuls of bags, right? You know, $500 worth of groceries. And I remember my ex-husband looking at me like he was going to fucking lose it. Like, he gave me this look like, what the fuck did you just do? I remember lipping like, I'm sorry to him, which is crazy. Like, why am I sorry that my mom bought us groceries? I'm not sorry. And instantly my mom sees this, my demeanor change his, and she like nibs it in the butt. She's like, I bought these groceries. You don't need to fucking worry about it. And he kind of like tail between the legs. Thanks so much. Like, we really appreciate it. That's so nice of you. And my mom kind of has this look on her face. Like, yeah, I bet. She is honed in. She has realized it. We were putting the groceries away and he was like, this wasn't on the list. And this was on the list. But he's like murmuring it under his breath. And I'm like, well, I didn't buy it. I didn't buy it. You know, and he's like, just, I can just tell he's getting more and more pissed. But my mom's there. So he's not going to say anything. He's not going to react. Nothing. It pissed me off because I was like, well, fuck, man, if you can control yourself when my mom's around, like, why can't you control yourself with me? But I think that was the moment my mom realized that there was some emotional abuse occurring. I don't think she understood the extent at the time, but she definitely was aware. And then my mom leaves and a sibling comes out to visit. They come out for a few weeks as well. And we actually had a cat. And one of the things that the NICU didn't want me doing was changing the cat litter, because they didn't want me to bring whatever that bacteria is like back to the NICU, because it can kill premature infants. They just can't fight it. I had no idea. You know, it's a really big concern when you're pregnant. I didn't think it would be after the fact, but it apparently is. And my sibling was there. They were crashing on our couch, hanging out. And I had asked my ex-husband to like change the litter box, you know, because I had to go to the NICU. And he like lost his fucking mind. Why the fuck should I do it? You know? And my sibling like looked at him like, are you for real right now? And I remember he ended up throwing such a fit, like slamming a door and leaving our apartment. And I remember my sibling looking at me and going like, why the fuck haven't you divorced him yet? I remember in that moment, I was like, oh, it's not a big deal. Like, I'm sure we're both just stressed because our baby is in the NICU. I totally like covered for him. So I think at that point then, like my mom knew, I had a sibling that kind of knew, but my other siblings, they were totally unaware. You know, all they saw was what I put on social media, which was like MySpace and early days of Facebook at the time. On there, we were this happy couple, and you know, now we have this baby, and yay.
I want to ask you about that really quick, because I think that's something that, and I'm not going to fucking lie to you, I've done it myself, where we get so confused as a viewer of your relationship, as someone on the outside, but we have a little bit of info that like you're unhappy or whatever. Why do you think that when things are bad, people want to try even more to show us that it's great?
I think it all kind of just psychologically now, I think it all kind of comes down to this whole like American dream, fucking fake reality. Everybody feels like they have to put on the show, right? If my marriage is failing, it's a direct reflection of me. So if my marriage fails, it's my fault. I've done something. I'm not good enough. Whatever the reason is, it comes back to me as the person. That's the perception we have of this, you know? And I think we've all learned to put on this face. I think a lot of that is mainly because talking about difficulties makes other people uncomfortable. And so we've learned to make ourselves uncomfortable at the expense of other people. I actually work in a specific field now where I see victims of all sorts of things. And this is the same for victims of any type of domestic abuse and even child abuse from their own parents. It's like a mask, you know. It's crazy to really think about it. Everything about my social media at the time was fake. You know, I remember like I would stage pictures of us together, and then like the next minute we'd be in a screaming match. And I'd like be scrolling later on and like see that picture, and I'd be like just like laugh about it in my head. But our marriage was toxic. It was so toxic. We were broke all the time. One of the things that he did was when he was pissed, he, instead of hitting me, he would punch holes in the wall or break stuff like phones, computers, whatever. It's always expensive shit, right? But he was so controlling that like if he broke his laptop, he'd go out the next day and buy one, even though we did not have the money to do that. So then I'd call my parents to like bail us out of rent the next month because we didn't have the money. And I'd have to lie. I'd like completely have to make up these totally asinine lies to be like, Mom, I need $500, you know, or whatever I needed. But it was all because that's what he would do when he was pissed. He'd punch holes in walls, punch holes in doors. And in my head at the time, I actually remember thinking like, well, at least he's not hitting me. It could be worse. He could hit me, but he doesn't. I kind of at this point got to the point where I was like, well, he hasn't hit me yet, but like, is he going to? We're going to get there. You know what I mean? Like, shit, if we're going to get there, like, let's fucking get there at this point, because at least if he hits me, at least if he fucking hits me, I'll have something to show somebody. But at this point, I have nothing to show anybody. What do you have to show for mental abuse besides your total, like, unstable personality at this point? But you don't have a bruise. You can't be like, he's abusing me. Nobody can see it. Nobody's going to believe it. And they didn't. I proved myself right. But I remember thinking, like, damn, dude, just hit me. If you hit me, I can leave. I can show somebody, like, and everyone will understand why I left. Everyone will be okay with it because nobody lays a hand on a person. But when it was emotional and mental and nobody could see it, I felt like I couldn't leave.
That is probably the most heartbreaking thing I feel like I've ever heard somebody say, ever.
I actually remember trying to goad him into like hitting me a few times, which is so fucking fucked up to say. But I remember like thinking like, if I piss him off enough at this point, like we're already in a screaming match, right? You know, which actually screaming matches were him screaming and me crying always. I would like push his buttons more, do something that I knew would kind of like send him over the edge, because I just kept thinking like, well, if he hits me, like I can call the MPs, the military police. He will fucking get thrown in the brig and nobody will fault me for leaving him. They're going to be like, yeah, no, you don't put a hand on a woman. You know, so I would try to like get him to actually physically abuse me so I could have it out. Saying that out loud makes me feel fucking crazy. But in the moment, that was how I felt.
Do you think that you were afraid of what would happen if you did leave?
Oh, I was terrified. He would say things like, you'll never get to keep our child. Look at you. You don't have a job. You didn't graduate college. I mean, like, mind you, I'm like 19, 20, you know. But what do you have to show for your age? You have nothing. You'll have to move back home with mommy and daddy, and no judge in this country is going to give you custody. And in my head, I'm like, holy shit, he's right. He's got this good job. His job pays every 2 weeks, like clockwork. Like, I have nothing to my name. My car's in his name. Everything was in his name. I had been 18 when we met. Yeah, well, not when we met, but when we were married. And I hadn't had any credit used, right? But he was already like in his 20s and had fucking ruined his credit. So he just went on to continue to ruin mine. So on top of me not having like anything to show for where I was at in life, I couldn't get anything in my name because he would buy, he'd get credit cards in my name and then buy shit, the shit he broke, put on a credit card and never pay the credit card.
Did things change at all when once your baby came home?
That was the moment that I was like, I got to get out of this. Like the baby was the entire reason that I was like, it is time. Like I got to figure this out because when our baby came home, I remember him telling me, like, you can't go to school and you can't work because this baby is so frail. They can't go into daycare. So you can't do anything except be trapped here with this baby. And every mom will tell you, you know, like you need human interaction besides the baby. And I had severe, it was diagnosed as postpartum depression at the time, but actually looking back now, it would have been diagnosed as postpartum anxiety. But at the time they didn't really have that diagnosis. So I actually was diagnosed fully with PTSD from the birth of the baby and the traumatic experience of the NICU and all of that. But this kind of led to me having a bit of agoraphobic, like you're stuck in the house. You don't want to leave. And it wasn't even that I didn't want to leave, but I had been stuck in the house for so long because I couldn't work. I couldn't go to school that I got to a point where if I had to leave, I'd have a panic attack. I would imagine every single way I was going to die in my car with my kid. It was bad. Oh, I'm just going to accidentally swerve and hit the semi truck. Like I just would have all these crazy. And that's how I knew. I was like, I remember talking to a therapist and I'd be like, yeah, that's normal. And they're like, no. So I remember going on like antidepressants and I remember him like calling me weak for that. Well, you're just so weak. You know what I mean? Like, why can't you just get over it? But I knew in my head at this point, like I needed to get out, but I just did not know how. And we were fighting a lot and our child was, you know, getting a little older, whatever. And then right around their first birthday was kind of the time that I was like, this is coming to a head at this point. Like something's got to give. I don't want this kid growing up seeing this, thinking this is a normal, healthy relationship when it's not. I remember expressing that finally, like being like, look, I don't want to do this anymore. Like I'm unhappy. And immediately when I would get like that, he would come in with this like hero complex, right? He would completely change his behavior for weeks. He would be this amazing guy. He would just be so great, so wonderful. Come home, take care of the baby, whatever, you know. And he would buy me things, you know, with my credit. But he would buy me very expensive things. Tiffany's bracelets, designer purses, designer shoes, and kind of like buy my love. And I kind of just let it happen. I was like, okay, cool, whatever. I get cool shit out of it. He's being nice. It's all good. But then, you know, a few weeks would go by and we'd be back into the same routine. And once again, then I'd be like, I'm fucking done. I want to leave. And it was just like a cycle. So right before our baby turned 18 months old, I was like, foot down. I am done. Like I have told my mom, I want to go home. Like this is what's happening. And he once again does the fullest manipulation and fucking voluntarily deploys. He finds out his unit was deploying. We knew his unit was deploying. We had known for a while, but he wasn't on the list. He was actually one of the like stay behinds. Well, they had asked for volunteers and we knew this. Like I knew they had asked for volunteers, you know, if anybody wanted to go. And he was like, no, like I don't want to miss any of our child's life. I don't want to do that. We had discussed it. But then all of a sudden, when I was like, I'm done, 1 foot out the door, he was like, guess what? I'm deploying. But he didn't tell me he had volunteered. He was like, they couldn't get a volunteer. I was told. I don't have a choice. I have to go. So naturally now you're like, oh, fuck. He could die. Like, he's going to deploy. Like, this is my kid's dad. Like, he could just die. I need to be there for him.
Be honest. Did you ever hope that maybe he would die?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Like, oh, I was so angry. I actually remembered thinking like, oh, maybe he just won't come back. That'd be so nice. I would never have to deal with this. And my kid would never know what was going on between us. I would just make this fairy tale image of who her father was and make it seem like he was this great person. But he was actually not in a position. His job in the military would have never put him in danger. But in my head, you know, of course, I'm like, well, maybe. So he goes to leave, and mind you, they were leaving in like 10 days. from the day that he volunteered. 10 days. So I think 10 days to like get a power of attorney and all this shit. And I actually had a power of attorney and legitimately considered divorcing myself with his power of attorney. I should have. But that was the moment. I was like, this is my out. He's gone. He cannot stop me. There's nothing holding me here. So my parents were like, listen, he's leaving. Why don't you come home for a few months? Bring the baby, come back here, hang out for a few months, have some family and friend time. And I'm like, yeah, okay. That's a great idea. You know, I fly home with her with big bags, you know, and I'm like, we are staying for a while. But I still plan on going back because obviously, like, I've got to get all my stuff or figure out what my, like, next move is. And at this point, still, like I said, my mom knew that there were issues, but she didn't, like, I don't think she knew that I was ready to, like, be done completely. So I came home that summer, and once again, this was like a repeat of my summer after senior year. I just went balls to the wall. If my kid was in bed, I was gone. Like, I never left her when she was awake. I was with her all the time. But like, hey, she went to bed at 8 o'clock. My parents are here. They're going to go to bed. So, hey, mom, dad, I'm going to go hang out with my friends. And they were totally okay with it. Like, they were like, yeah, go. Absolutely. Yeah, go see your friends. So it was like a damn near, I don't want to say every night, but, you know, because my friends had jobs too. But it was often. It was a few times a week at least that I was like out with friends. And once again, I like sleeping with anybody I wanted to. Because it was just like my out. And that is kind of when like the cheating started. I just kind of didn't care because in my head, like I told him that I didn't want to be with him anymore when he left for deployment. So in my head, I was like, I'm separated. We're not together. But like my ex apparently didn't get that memo because he was still randomly, you know, occasionally when he could would email. And they were very much like, hey, how are you? I miss you. This is where we're headed next. Can't tell you when. Love you. Can't wait to talk to you again. Send me pictures of the baby. And I wouldn't even respond. And he still wasn't like getting the hint. He would call me and I would like pretend that the connection was so bad we'd have to hang up. And it wasn't, but I just didn't want to talk to him. So I'm home for like a few months at this point. I end up actually staying a little longer because a relative of mine passed away. And I was able to change my flight so I could be there for the funeral and such. So I end up staying like, I think it ended up being like 8 extra days was all. But at this point, I'd been there for 3 months. And I still had like 4 months before my ex-husband was scheduled to be home. And who knew actually, but that's what their like, you know, estimate was. So I end up staying and finally heading back to the base. And I get back there and I'm like, I'm this new person. I have refound who I was. All of a sudden, the things that I loved, my passions, my interests, they're all back, right? Things I had completely like suppressed for the last 2 years. All of a sudden, I'm like, damn, I'm an outgoing person. Damn, I like being around people, like to hang out with people, like discovering myself again. And I get back to the base and I remember I had a neighbor who was my age and also had a child that was the same age as my child. And before I left, we had gotten our kids together a few times. And so at this point, I come back and she's like, let's get the kids together, you know? And at this point, we're living in like housing on a base. And she had introduced me to our one neighbor. He was actually married, but him and his wife were separated. He was much older. I want to say he was like in his 40s at the time, like much older than me at the time. And he just was like living a bachelor life, but in family housing. And he was like, just his good old buddy. He was always like drinking beer in his garage and working on a Harley. So I ended up meeting him and he's like a really good friend. So sweet. Always like willing to help me out if there was something I needed around my house while my ex was gone. You know, he was just good for it. And one morning it was like a Saturday, I think, but I was actually walking to get our mail and we had like those communal mailboxes on base. So like I lived on one cul-de-sac and there was another cul-de-sac next to me. And all of our mailboxes were at this one, like where the two cul-de-sacs met. And so I'm walking, got my kiddo in her little buggy, you know, like cruising down the street. And we go to check the mail and I see that neighbor out and they like wave like, hey, I'm in pajamas, you know. So I'm like, hey. And then I think, well, better go say hi and not be rude. So, you know, I wander down the street and I'm chatting with him. And as we're chatting, a truck pulls up and out jumps two guys. And they like walk up to his driveway and they ask him to borrow some tool. And I'm just fixated on this one guy that gets out of this truck. I'm just like glued. Holy shit. Jaw has dropped. I actually think it physically, like I had that moment of like, oh my God. And I was like in pajamas and a hoodie and I have this baby. Like, it was not a good look. He doesn't say a word to me. I don't even think he looked at me really. And I remember like trying to like make fun of his hair for not being in regs for the military. Cause I was like trying to make small talk and hadn't flirted in a very long time. And was like, it was bad. It was a bad, bad fail. And he just like laughs about it and they leave. And I look at my neighbor and I'm like, oh my God, who was that? He tells me the kid's name and immediately follows it up with, don't go there, he's a whore. And I'm like, ooh, I'm intrigued. Why not? So I end up like Facebook stalking him for like a week. I'm like looking him up. I don't add him because I'm like, he's not gonna know what the fuck I am, right? So I just like every day I'm like looking at his profile. I'm like, oh my God, he's so cute. And I, you know, I can tell he's single. I knew he was. And I wanted to be anything, like, just let me into your little corner of the world. I just want to hook up with you and like be on my way. I don't care. Just give me something. But how do you reach out to someone you like didn't even say anything to? So I actually ended up at this point, I was kind of, I have to say this because this kind of just ties into it. Military bases are like big fucking fraternities. Everybody is fucking everybody. Unless you're like in officer housing, there's no such thing as a committed relationship. This was like a totally normal thing. Big frat party, you know, everybody's drinking. Everybody's even occasionally doing drugs if they know they don't have a piss test in the next 72 hours. Like it was kind of crazy. So I had actually met another neighbor who also was married, but they had what the military likes to call a contract marriage. This was where a guy and a girl will purposely get married so they can have the military benefits, but they actually aren't in a relationship. And this occurs all the time in the military. So this guy marries this girl because she needs medical benefits. They've known each other for years and he wants to not live in the barracks and wants to live on base housing. So this just works out for everybody. So they have a 2-bedroom house in base housing and she sleeps in one room and he sleeps in the other. They are not together and by no sense of the word, except for the fact that they have a marriage certificate. So I end up meeting him and like we become, for lack of better words, fuck buddies. We're just, that's all we do. We hang out, hook up all the time. And she knew, like she like legitimately was like, yeah, that's totally fine. I don't care. Like just be quiet if I'm trying to sleep, you know? So he ends up like leaving to go somewhere. I think he was going back home. I don't even remember. And he asks me to watch his dogs. He's like, hey, you know, I'm going out of town. Can you watch my dogs for me while I'm gone? And of course I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Like, so right before he goes to leave, he texts me and he's like, hey, I don't need you to watch my dogs anymore. I'm like, what? Are you not leaving? And he goes, no, my buddy's going to watch the dogs for me. I'm like, oh, cool. Well, like, let your buddy know that, you know, this girl will do it. She'll come here and let the dogs out if you don't want to, right? So all of a sudden, I'm like, what's your buddy's name? And he says the name of this dude that I've been Facebook stalking for 2 weeks.
I just imagine in your head that you're thinking, you know what? Don't tell him that you told me, like, maybe we could just pretend that I forgot. And I could go to check on the dogs in just like a towel and it would be totally fine. Like you wouldn't think anything about it.
Yes. No. In fact, I kind of did something similar because I'm like, you know, at this point I'm like 21 and I'm like, this dude is fine. I don't care. Like, I just want a piece of it. I really did not like, I didn't want a relationship, nothing. Like, I just want to sleep with you. That was my intention. How do I get that? And the minute that he sees my reaction, when he's like, says the name of this person, well, he doesn't see it. We're like texting. I was like, oh, .. You know, he's like, don't fuck him. That's all the text said. Don't fuck him. And I'm like, Jesus, why is everybody cock blocking me? First, the neighbor's like, he's a whore. Don't go there. And now this guy's like, yeah, don't. I'm like, what's he got, like an STD or something? Like, what's happening? You know, I don't know. But now I'm like more convinced than ever that I need to sleep with him. Like everybody's telling me no. And I'm like, well, actually. So, and mind you, I don't even think he knows I exist at this point. Like I have no idea. I'm trying to think of any way that I can find some way to go over there and like introduce myself. So I end up talking to another girl neighbor. And she's like, let's go over there and say hi. She truly had a crush on him too. I like didn't know at the time, but yeah, she did. She's like, let's go over there and just say hi. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, let's go. So we go over there and I'm like, hey, so your buddy told me to, you know, let the dogs out, but then he let me know that you're doing it. But like, why don't you give me your number and we can text? That way, like, if you decide to go somewhere, you can tell me and I'll just come let the dogs out. How does that sound? And he was like, so oblivious. He's like, yeah, that's fine. And like rattles off his number. And I'm like frantically like trying to get it into my phone. Like, oh my God, I have his number. And I end up finding out that he has like a girlfriend. So he ends up actually messaging me like a few days later and was like, hey, I'm going to go see my girlfriend. Can you come let these dogs out? And I was like, yeah, no problem. Like, that's totally fine. So I go over there and I let the dogs out. And then like later on during the day, I knew they were there because I saw her car, but I like played dumb and was like, oh my God, I like let myself in. Oh my God. Oh my God. I didn't know you guys were here. I'm so sorry. I thought I had to let the dogs out. Like, my bad. And they're like both sitting on the couch. And so like, I like let them out, whatever, let the dogs out. And cause I want to see what this girl looked like. Like, what's my competition? You know,
I was just
how stiff is this?
I'm like, why the fuck is she going in there? Is she hoping for like some sort of threesome? But you were just sizing up the competition.
I mean, at that point, I don't think I would have been opposed. No, I'm sizing up the competition. I was definitely like, how secure is this relationship? Cause like, I didn't, weirdly enough, like I didn't want to actually become in between anybody else's relationship. Mine didn't like feel like a thing at this point. I was like, I am free. But I wasn't about to ruin somebody else's. That was not in my moral code, right? You know, they're like on the couch watching Sons of Anarchy, actually. And I'm like, oh my God, I really wanted to start the show. The second season's starting soon. I haven't even watched it. And he's like, well, I have the Netflix discs. That just dates us, right? Like, we used to get them in the fucking mail. Our kids are like so privileged. They're like, let me just click whatever I want. Mind you, I'm like waiting 2 weeks to get the next disc of this fucking series.
I'm waiting for your desperate ass to just get on the couch with them. You guys are cool if I just like hang out with you.
Right. I considered it. I did. So I like make this whole like, I want to watch it, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, what, like, where are you at? And he's like, we're on disc two, you know? So I was like, oh, okay. Can I get disc one? Thinking like, well, if he gives it to me, he's going to have to come get it back to like mail it. He's like, yeah. And just like chucks it to me. I'm like, fuck yes. I have an in. Like, this is it. So I like as fast as I can catch up to where they were at. Like, I feel like I would binge watch like 6 episodes in a day. And the next day I'm like, hey, what episode are you on? And he's like, 7. I'm like, shit, me too. But I can't watch it because you have the disc. And he's like, yeah, I do. I'm like, we should just watch it together. And he's like, yeah, come over. I'm like, how about you come here? Because like I have a kid, you know? He's like, yeah. Oh my God, I have done it. Like, I have cracked the Da Vinci code. It is the Sons of Anarchy discs. This is what is going to get me in.
I have got to admit, that was pretty fucking smooth that worked out for you.
Thanks, I appreciate that. I think it was, you know, some of my best work, truly. So yeah, he ends up like coming over and it works. He ends up bringing laundry with him, doing his laundry at my house. And this becomes like our thing. So we like watch the entire first season together. Nothing happens between us. It is the most platonic buddy, hang out on the couch, watch the show. You know, my kid's in bed. If she's awake, he's playing with her. It was like total friendship. Like at this point I was like, oh shit, I got friend zoned, but I don't care. Cause I just like really, at this point I had really, like I liked him as a person. I just really just liked who he was, what he was about and everything. And he was still dating this other girl. So kind of knew it wasn't going to go anywhere. And mind you, like his best friend and roommate was my fuck buddy, right? So my fuck buddy ends up coming back from wherever he was and like totally breaking everything off with me. He's like, hey, I met a girl and I want to be in a relationship with her. So like, we got to quit this. And I remember being like devastated, but I wasn't actually devastated. I was more mad that he broke up with me. And I remember calling my now husband and being like, he just broke up with me. I cannot believe it. And he goes, are you kidding me? And I'm like, no. And he's like, why? And I'm like, oh, he met this girl and he wants a relationship. Like, I can't fault him for that. I don't want a relationship, you know? Like, yeah, man, that sucks. I'm so sorry. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, it's crazy. Me and that girl broke up too. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, she was still talking to her ex-boyfriend who was also deployed, not the same deployment, but also deployed. He's like, I caught them talking on the phone and they were still like very clearly in a relationship. And all of a sudden I was like, what the fuck am I doing here? So they end up breaking up and I'm like, no way, we're both single. But our relationship at this point is like, it's like a bromance. We're just buddies, good old pals, you know? And he's at my house every day. He'd literally come over after work and be there, sleep on my couch. I mean, just like a good guy, like good friend. And I'm of course like trying, okay? I am trying to get him to make a move and it is not working. In fact, one night I had like a, it was October, and I was like, I'm going to have a horror movie night. Now knowing what I know now, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. He did have a thing for me because my husband hates horror movies, despises them. Okay. Does not like them. Will not watch them. Not a fan, but he came to my horror movie night. And at this time, I have no idea that he does not like horror movies. So he comes and a couple other friends come and the night kind of winds down. People are leaving and I'm just like on a roll, like, okay, what's next? Exorcist. Okay, what's next? And our other buddy ends up like falling asleep on my couch and he's like 6'3" and I have a sectional. So we end up sitting on my couch, me and my now husband, and we're just like, we're talking about our family, how many kids we want, like what our family's done for a living. Like we're just giving each other everything, our backstories. And I end up being like, okay, I got to go to bed. You know, like my kid's going to be up in 3 hours. I have got to go to bed. So I, you know, mosey on up to my bedroom and I'm like, this might be the perfect opportunity. Like he's still awake. And this other dude that's just our friend is like passed out on my couch. So I send him a text. I think I'm being like, so, you know, slick here. And I'm like, hey, if that couch gets a little too crowded, I've got a whole queen size bed up here. You could just sleep next to me. He doesn't even respond. And I'm like, damn, you know, like, fuck. So I'm just going to sleep because what do you do?
I feel like my favorite part of this whole story is that you really have no game at all.
None. You keep trying
so hard. Like, I love that it's Sons of Anarchy. And like you show up when his girlfriend's there. And then I love too that you're like, hey, I got a whole queen bed. Like it's not like you have a king bed. It's like, it's a queen. Like not really that much more room.
Listen, in my head, it was immediately like a come up here and have sex with me, but like, you know, nicer. And I just think, you know, who's going to say no to that? Who turns down sex? What 21-year-old guy is like, I don't want to get laid tonight. So when he doesn't come up, I'm like, okay, he's gay. Like, that is the only fucking way to explain this. He's got to be gay. So the next morning, me being who I am and all my game, as you say, I look at him and I go, like, literally, we're up in the morning and we're, like, in my kitchen getting drinks of water. And I'm like, so did you get my text last night? And he fucking looks me square in the eyes and is like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, and he says nothing. I'm like, oh, God, I am truly friend zoned. Like this is not going to happen. And it just, you know, we just keep hanging out. Like we're good old buddies. And actually that morning we end up going to, you know, his house where he lives with that buddy. Cause he's like, hey, let's go to breakfast. I'm like, that's a great idea. Like, let's go. So he's like, I want to go change. So we like, I drive to the house they're staying at, which by the way is like four houses down from mine. And he jumps out of the car to go change. And the buddy comes out of the house and was like, I knew it. You two are fucking. Cause this was the first time that he'd ever like stayed the whole night at my house. And I'm like, no, we're not. I wish we were, but we're not, you know? And he starts chucking this kid's shit out on the lawn. Like, get the fuck out. Like, you can't live with me. And he's like, what the fuck? Like, dude. And they end up getting it resolved. And he's like, look, I spent the night. Like, our other buddy was there. You can ask him. Like, nothing happened. Like, we're friends. And I'm like, damn it. So they're cool. They end up, like, squashing it, whatever. And he's still living there. And
at any point during this friendship, do you guys talk about your marriage and about your husband? Like, is he aware that you're married but separated? Like, what all does he know?
Yeah, so he knew I was married and he knew we weren't on good terms. I don't think he knew. I mean, like he knew. He knew some of what was going on. I had finally kind of been like, I had figured it out. So I had started telling him like what was going on, you know, the shit that he would do. Like when he deployed, he took all my like lacy underwear. I don't know what he did with them. Maybe he threw them out. I don't know. Any underwear I had that weren't like period granny panties were gone. Fucking gone. I had like nothing cute. Who the fuck does that?
I don't mean to laugh because that is a crazy, very right. Psycho controlling thing to do, but I love that he just left you the bad panties.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, like the postpartum panties and shit. Like he was like, here you go, buddy. Try to get laid in these. And I'm all, joke's on you. I just won't wear any, right? So yeah, like that was the crazy shit he did. So like, yeah, this this guy knew kind of to an extent. I don't think I went so deep and like explained how I was feeling on an emotional level, just because that was like a level of trauma I wasn't ready to address. But he knew, you know, he knew that it was not great. And I ended up throwing this like rager party, right? I'm like, I need to throw a party. So I like open the garage door. That's like signal on base that you're throwing a party. Huge party. I mean, everybody in the neighborhood is at my house at this point, including the guy that I had like been seeing, that fuck buddy. And but the guy I was into did not come, of course, because he like, that was not his scene. He's like, I don't want to party. Like, listen, if I want to drink, I'm just gonna, like, drink by myself. I just, he wasn't like a social person like that. So the old buddy's there and we're drinking all night long. I am drunk at this point, like that perfect drunk where you're just like, if I could just stay like this the rest of the night, I'd be good. I'm not going to puke, but also like I'm at a good point. And we're playing beer pong and I'm like whooping everybody's ass. And for whatever reason, this kid thinks this is like the greatest moment to call me a like lying cunt for winning. Like he was just pissed and drunk. And I was like, what the fuck did you just call me? And he like repeats himself. And I was like, get no. Mm-mm. The C word? No, you need to go. Like, it is time for you to check the fuck out, leave my house, get the hell out, go home. And so I text my current husband. I text him and I'm like, you need to come get your buddy. Like, he's at my house. He is belligerent. Come and fucking get him. And he's like, okay. And so he comes and he picks him up and ends up taking him back to the house. And I'm like, you should come back. Cause like, I've got like total liquid courage at this point, you know? So I'm like, balls, I don't even care. Whatever it takes at this point, I'm going to do it. So I'm like, you should come back. And he's like, no, it's not really my thing. And I'm like, please just come back. Come hang out with me. And he's like, oh, okay, fine. Like, totally. He did not want to. He did not want to. He was very resilient. He comes back and he comes in my kitchen. And I had like purposely bought the alcohol that he liked. Because I was like, I'm going to get him to do a shot with me. So I do. I'm like, hey, come in my kitchen. Come do the shot with me. I'll do Patron. You can do your Jack. Like, let's party. And at this point, we're the only two people in my kitchen. He ends up like walking away. He's like, oh, I got to piss. I'm like, oh, okay. And he walks to my bathroom that was by my front door. So very quickly, I was like, this is the moment, right? Like, I have to do something. So I lock the garage door and then I lock the front door. I lock everybody out of my house. And I, oh my God, so embarrassing. I stand outside the fucking bathroom door and wait like a psycho. Like, come on, come on out. I'm here. And he does. And when he comes out, I shove him up against the wall and I kiss him. This dude looks at me and goes, it's about fucking time. And I'm like,
so both of you have no game.
None. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And he's like, no. And we like immediately, like, it's like up the stairs to the bedroom. Like, this is, we have passed go. The Monopoly money is sitting in the drawer. Let's go. Like, this is happening. And mind you, everybody's locked out of my house. They're all like trying the doors and like, what's going on? Why can't we get in there? You know? And finally I'm like, oh fuck, like we gotta go back out to the party. Like there's people partying in my garage, you know. He's like, okay. And like he straightens everything out. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? Why did you tell me like took me long enough? Why haven't you made a move? I gave you so many opportunities. And like, I kid you not, he looks at me and goes, well, you're married. I would never cross those lines with someone who's married if they didn't want it. And I'm like, oh my God, you're so good. You're such a good guy.
I have to ask, yeah. Was that sex everything you had hoped it would be?
Hell yes. Yes. And more. And I was like, this is why you're a whore. Like, I get it. I totally get why. Like, girls are always blowing up your phone. This makes so much sense now. Like, damn. And like, he just wasn't like a settled down kind of guy. He just wasn't. But him and I had this such a great relationship. Like, we were just best friends. Like, that's truly the best I can say. We were best friends. And then we had like the sexual relationship. So obviously like it progressed quickly from that point. Like once you introduced the sexual aspect of the fact that we were like already so close, it was just like this total package of a relationship. And I'm like, oh my God, like I think I love this person. Not even because of like the sexual aspect. I just really truly had already like loved him as a person. And now I'm in love with him. And he was so great with my kid. And then his buddy finds out that we're like hooking up and kind of like together. And he's like, no, yeah, you can't stay here. So this poor guy gets like kicked out of his house. And so we end up like living together, like a week into a relationship, we are living together.
Let me ask you this, because with your marriage, it felt like from what you were saying earlier, you were really wrapped up in the public persona that you were putting out there, that like everything was perfect. Was any part of you with him worried about the fact that you basically look like a cheating whore?
Oh, yeah. I remember thinking like, oh, my God, everybody's going to hate me. I don't come out of this looking good, no matter what I do. I cheated on my deployed husband. There is no way to spin that and make it sound positive. It just doesn't happen. So my friends and some of my family like kind of knew. So at this point, I was kind of just like, it is what it is. Like, it's going to be what it is. I can't fix it. I can't stop it. And I just didn't give a fuck. And at this point, still, like, my ex-husband is still, like, emailing me and calling on occasion. And it was cold. Like, all the responses from me were so cold. But yet, it was like he didn't know that this was, like, a divorce was inevitable, you know? So we end up, like, you know, me and this boyfriend now, we're, like, living together. Well, my ex-husband is about to come home at this point. Fuck.
If you ever feel like there are a lot of cheating episodes on here, it's because there are. But I think my reasoning for continually bringing them to you, it's not because I think cheating stories are juicy, but one, like, the majority of my audience is women. Not all of them. Like, if you are a guy and you are listening, I love you. I appreciate you. You are the man. But I think that cheating episodes also help us to tell stories of relationships that are toxic or are in a really bad place. And I think that that is very common. And so my goal is to try and provide a light bulb moment for the other women out there who are currently in these relationships and maybe wake something up in them and just make them realize that this isn't what you want. Maybe I'm not doing that, but it's what I'm trying to do. Anyways, we will finish this story next week. If you have not yet left a 5-star review on Apple, please do. And even if you have, do me a favor and go leave another one, just like the 5-star rating. I have this really great review of the podcast, but somehow the rating got changed to a 1-star, and I want to believe it's a mishap. So just go click the 5 again. That'd be great. That'd be awesome. Maybe it'll count it twice. I don't know. And please, nothing else. Like, nothing lower than a 5, because I am much too sensitive for that. Begging you, please, please, if you hate the show, please don't tell me. Just please don't listen ever again. That'd be great. Too sensitive, I will cry, and it won't be good. Anyways, thank you guys for listening. I will see all of you next week.
Everybody has a secret.